live on the video, and those of you on the phone, welcome this evening. I'm going to go ahead and push record on our video program. Let's give everybody just a moment or two to get hooked up. Make sure that you're connected properly. We have some viewers, so it looks like we're getting people on the line tonight. Thank you. It's good to have you with us. Hopefully everybody can hear okay. If there are any challenges tonight, just send a text to 801-554-7308. That's 801-554-7308. So that Ramona will know if there are any challenges and be able to hear both on the video and also on the telephone. It looks like most of our participants tonight are going to be on the telephone, so if there's anything we can do to be of service to you, just go ahead and send a text to 801-554-7301. It would also be nice to know, 7308, that's 554-7308, that's area code 801. And if you just let us know if you're on the video, it would be wonderful if you could send us a text at the same number, 801-554-7308, just so that we know that everything's working fine. We had one number incorrect in the code for last week, and so no one was able to see the video. We were able to record it, but you weren't able to see it. So we want to make sure that those of you who would like to watch this on the video can do so. It's great to have you here with us tonight. We're going to talk about a very tender topic. Tonight is our night to talk about self-esteem. We go through the six qualities of an intentional creator, connecting with people where we learn to intrinsically validate and care about people. And just as an aside, I just got off a very interesting phone call. Chad Hymas, many of you remember from our Christmas call, invited me to participate in his call. He does a lot of work with mines across the country, very large mines, some of them with 50, 60,000 employees. And we were on a phone call tonight that went out to 56 different countries. It was wild. And here we are talking to the supervisors and miners. These are the people down there in the trenches. And guess what the topic was? Intrinsic validation. Isn't that fun? Everyone's hungry to be validated and for us to listen to them and for us to find good in them. And he was overwhelmed with text messages and emails that I'll be answering for the next few days on this very topic. I remember Scott when I shared this with him the first time, Scott Irwin. And he said, you know, gosh, how many people know this? And I said, well, there are a few. And he said, can we keep this to ourselves? Because I know Scott has made and saved millions of dollars intrinsically validating what he calls those crusty old cowboys in West Texas. So if crusty old cowboys in West Texas can have their hearts melted with intrinsic validation, so can miners. And if miners can do it and cowboys can do it, it would serve all of us to learn how to do it and share it with others. That's intrinsic validation, quality number one, connecting with people. Quality two, we talk about mastering our mind, using our mind constructively. Not going there today. I'm not going to go in those dark dungeons of despair and discouragement. I'm going to stay focused on one of the five creative ways of using my mind. I must tell you, you have those moments where something happens, and it's just such a validation of this very principle of staying in creation. When there might be some things that want to yank you over into those dark dungeons. Yesterday was one of those days. I don't mind telling you, there were three times during the day that I was moved to tears. So overwhelmed with the ideas that came and the doors that opened. Just a validation that what we're sharing and what you're learning and applying and mastering in your life will make a difference. We take that passion we get from using our mind constructively and we stay present in the now, in creation, tangible creation. And then we learn to be disciplined and structured because some of us in resistance and resentment. I've got such a fun chapter that I just finished for this quality, quality number four, chapter for the book. I won't spend any time tonight, but the next time we cycle around to order and structure, discipline and structure, I'm going to be sharing it with you. And it won't be too much longer and you'll be able to read it in the book. Just that crazy noise in our head that doesn't want to be interrupted, that fear of being controlled, and what impact that has on our desire for ease, and what impact that has on our resistance and resentment and natural rebellions. That's going to be a great experience. Then last week we talked about finding joy in the journey, gratitude, managing our time, sorrow and joy, finding meaning and purpose in all we do. And tonight we're going to take on self-esteem. So pull out a pen and a paper, and I'm going to do my very best to share with you what I've garnered over the last several years in terms of healing of self-esteem. I am naturally timid and shy. I can be very reclusive. Those are habits I learned in my youth from a very, very young age. Those of you who are struggling with some of these issues, what I'm going to share with you tonight is what I've done to heal my self-esteem. Because I've had challenges in all three areas, but cause challenges. I'll be as transparent as I can. Because it feels so good when we become whole and complete and real and genuine and authentic. And we're not dragging around that sack of guilt and shame and fear and trying to impress and pretend. We just get to be us. Such a wonderful place to be, especially when we've been tortured and tormented by this internal dialogue. So let's go to work. If you have your assessment handy so you can take a look at it, the six measurements that we're going to be addressing tonight are on the right-hand side. It's the very first one, whole and complete. This is how we value ourselves in terms of our worth, just our worth, and our worthiness, our pricelessness, and our uniqueness. My computer wants to install an update. This is also confident. This is our questions about our ability to actually do something. Then valiant, our belief systems. How do we value our belief systems? Then peaceful. How do we feel when someone challenges our belief systems? And then, I just had a brain freeze for a moment. Deliberate. Do we feel like we need to sacrifice our time and energy and even our well-being to somehow prove we're okay? And last, unconditional. Can we see our challenges and our strengths and balance? So whole and complete, confident, valiant, peaceful, deliberate, and unconditional. We'll take a look at these as we go through the process. Now, the very first thing we want to explore is what creates the problem. Then we're going to talk about the objective. What is our objective with self-esteem? And third, how do we actually heal those wounds that we have? And hopefully in the next 52 minutes or so, I'll be able to share something with you that you could implement in your life that could be life-changing. To those of you who are with us tonight that are visiting, we want to welcome you. It's great to have you here with us. Hopefully you'll come back often to be a part of these Tuesday night celebrations of life, because this is one of the great celebrations, healing our self-esteem so we're just okay. No matter what's going on around us, we're okay. Well, the first cause of challenges in self-esteem, number one, is unmet expectations. Life is showing up differently than we expected it to. Now, if we engage in those destructive thought processes of catastrophe and fantasy particularly, we're going to create expectations that can't be met because we're going to be seeking ease and no more stress and no more pain and no more frustration, which means we really don't want to spend any time improving and we really don't want to spend any time controlling our mind and being disciplined and structured. We just want to just let it flow. Many are in that place. They're just tired. They're exhausted. They're worn out. They're depleted. They just want it easy. Well, we know that place doesn't exist. But when we go there in our mind, we create expectations, concrete conditions for happiness. And when those things do not show up as fast as we had imagined or like we imagined, then we start hating our life, those things around us. And I say hate, strong word, but that's what the measurement is. And so many are in this place. They just, we're in resistance, in resentment. We wish we were someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. We just want it different than it is. It is what it is. But then something really diabolical occurs. Earlier in the material, I left you with this statement. Why is it that when my neighbor offends me, I burn down my house? It's human nature. When we have a clear vision and life doesn't show up the way that it should, the very first place we go is inward for blame. And we look in one of three places, whole and complete, that first measurement. We start questioning our worth. Seems everybody else is doing it. What's wrong with me? And in the most severe cases, maybe God doesn't love me. I had a delightful conversation yesterday with a wonderful human being who had gone through this very process for the last couple of years. And he finally discovered that God did love him. You might be asking the wrong questions. Because we create an expectation and it doesn't show up. We created the expectation. Life is what it is. And yet we can question our own worth and even whether God loves us. So that's the first place. The second place we start to impact is confidence, that second measurement. We start to question our ability, whether or not we can even do it. Whether we're tall enough, smart enough, rich enough, wise enough, have enough talent, skills, anything that's measurable, contrastable, comparable, tangible. That's a really sad place to go. Because when we start looking inward and become critical of ourselves, we might also, if you look right across the other side to respectful on your assessment results, we might also start focusing on people's outward appearances, how they look on the outside, and comparing how we're feeling about ourselves inward in comparison to how they're looking outward. And we create a straw bridge. That's a bridge that won't support connection. Can't walk across a straw bridge, it'll collapse. And that is happening a great deal in our society right now. Because frankly, the person who's intimidating us may in fact be intimidated by us. They may be doing the same thing, viewing inwardly, being very critical of their ability and their appearance and their things, and looking at you and going, wow, they look so put together. Because all of us are still trying to look so put together. We're all impressing each other with all our stuff and etc. And for many, it's just not true. So that's one of the dangers when we start getting into that confident measurement and it's challenged. The next is valiant. We start to question our belief systems. I remember the day I questioned. Words still roll off my tongue. I can still remember I was sitting in our home on Millbrook Way before we remodeled that bedroom in a peach-colored chair. And I said, I long to cry to the God of my youth. But the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. Prophetic comment, because I did. I need to change my cry. When things don't turn out the way we had supposed they should, we start to hate our life. We can actually take our belief systems and put them on trial. And sometimes throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that could include God. This is one of the dangers of an unmet expectation. You feel that? We created the expectation, hate life, question our worth, our ability, and even our belief systems. Who are we? We're terribly confused. Because all of these very fundamental, intrinsic principles foundational principles to our being are all in question. Who am I then? If I'm not worthy, if I'm not capable, and my beliefs aren't true, who am I? We're questioning ourselves at the very core. So that's the first and greatest challenge. Now, the solution for this we'll talk about a little bit later. The second, this is a touchy one, because there are things that have occurred in our lives. I've shared pretty candidly some of mine from my youth when I was 2 to 4. Being placed in the hands of a pedophile, that wasn't a great way to start your life, my life. And then other things can happen. We can be bullied when we're in school. We can be ostracized, left out. We can be in bad relationships. Horrible things can happen to us through our life. This is when the fragile, and they can be very fragile, the fragile underpinnings of trust have been damaged. And we start to question who we are. Are we those things? Maybe I'm not worthy because of those things. Maybe I don't matter because of those things. If God loved me, that would have never happened to me. Can you hear that dialogue? So destructive. That's the second cause. Now, sometimes when we're dealing with this particular cause, this one especially, we may need some therapeutic intervention to process through some of the pain. Don't be ashamed if that's the case. Some of those events are so traumatic, especially when we're left alone or somebody didn't believe us. And now the opportunity is for us to get the help we need wherever we can get that. And having a trained therapist process through some of that is so helpful. If we're ready to empty that sack, take a look at it, engrave it on our heart, we learned about it in the first quality, so that we can use that experience as a rich resource to better connect with and serve another person, well, then there's finally purpose in that suffering. There'll finally be joy in our journey and much healing in our souls. But sometimes it takes a while to get to that moment. So just reflect on your life. Are there things that have happened that I haven't dealt with yet? I've left them buried for all these years. I know the most painful one in mine, I left buried till I was almost 52 years old. 52. Before I finally faced it. I didn't want it in my life. I wanted to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. I just didn't want that peace. Perhaps you feel the same way about what's happened to you. You don't want it. That's the second cause. The third cause is a very interesting one. I'm going to have you move that phone away from the other phone. We just get a little bit of a noise, a little feedback. Thanks, sweetheart. I'm here with Ramona. Ramona, stick your head in the camera here for a second. She said no, she's been working out. She's in her Iron Girl hat from when she ran the sprint triathlon down in Las Vegas. The third cause takes some introspection. The third cause is when there's a conflict. Here I am. This is what I'm presenting to the world. And this is how I'm acting in secret in my life. Maybe I hold a public position, but secretly I'm engaged in maybe a pornography addiction or a food addiction or a drug or alcohol addiction. And there's generally addictions that create this. There's a conflict between what the world thinks in my public appearance and what's going on in my secret life. And can you see the conflict? I don't know which one I am. Am I this person or am I this person? The truth is I'm not either one of them. I'm the observer. I'm observing this one, and I'm observing this one and saying, wow, would it behoove me to have this behavior and this behavior be consistent? So I'm the same person everywhere I go. Now, that's idealistic. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we were more consistent? But that's the third cause of challenged self-esteem. So just take a look at your life. This is a great opportunity and a safe place to say, is there anything that I engage in mentally or physically, emotionally, morally, in my secret life, that I would be ashamed if someone were to know. Just ask yourself. It's okay. It's a safe place to ask. Because it might be something we'll want to take on. Because if we don't, there's going to be a continuation of this conflict between what I present and what I think I am. And I'm not this secret either. I'm not this. It's just behavior that I'm acting out. And this is my best behavior. I'm probably closer to really being this person. But now I want to be congruent in my core, in my private, and in my public life. Congruent, same person. Well, those are the three great challenges. Let's spend just a moment on the objective. Dr. Hartman, who did the mathematics for our assessment, said that the objective is to just be. Be real and genuine and authentic, whole and complete, without any need to impress or pretend or feel ashamed or fear. He said this is the most difficult task, and I know it is, and if we could just you and me for a moment, this is tough, isn't it? This is the most difficult task in our mortal existence. Because there's just so many attacks on all of those really sensitive thought processes. When Og says, I've surrendered my free will to these years of accumulated habits, and the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future, what he's saying is these thought processes have been created over a lifetime, maybe in our childhood or in our youth or in relationships. These habits of thinking that cause us to say things to ourselves that if I were to say those things, we couldn't be friends. Very destructive dialogue. Well, the objective is to let all that go. And he said, and this, speaking of being real and genuine and authentic, this is the highest level of maturity. Of maturity. I've shared this with those of you who have been through this process once before, that I used to attach age to maturity. You know, the older you got, the more mature you became. It's just not true. It's one of the realizations when you stop letting go of expectations about how people will show up based on their age. Maturity comes from being real and genuine and authentic, of going through the process of letting go of fear and shame and the need to impress and pretend. So that's our objective. Let's talk a little bit about each one of these words. Because to be real is to be able to connect with another human being, to be comfortable in connection. Real. Relationships. That's the root. To be real. To step into someone's world. To be able to set aside the noise in your own head and focus entirely on serving another person. Being totally available to serve. Now, if our thought processes aren't in alignment, serving can be painful. Can have all kinds of strings attached and expectations. That's not the kind of service we're talking about. That's service with an agenda. This is service without agenda. Free to just be real. Have great conversations with people and to care about people and step into their world and take down their walls. Can you feel it? Without any crazy dialogue. How do I look? What will they think? How can it be interesting? I don't know what to say. I'm feeling nervous, uncomfortable, without any of that stuff. All that stuff's gone. Because when that is gone, and we're not focused on our own selfish needs, which most of us are for a good part of a lifetime, we finally let that go, we find the joy that can only come through connection. We're built to connect. Dr. Dan Goleman, in his book, Primal Leadership and Social Intelligence, tells us we're built for this. Everything about us is about connection with another human being. Yet almost all the dialogue going on in our head precludes us from actually doing so. Isn't that interesting? That's real. Now, genuine. This is an interesting one. Genuine. You ever seen the stamp on leather, genuine leather? What is it? It's being all that it can be. It's being its real self. It's being genuine. Genuine comes from the root word genus, which means genius. It means embracing our genius. This isn't trying to impress people with our knowledge and our vocabulary. No, this is just bringing all of our ability to every situation. When we're talking to people, when we're doing a task, we know when we procrastinate that when we finally jump in and do the task, it's always easier than we thought it would be. We always wonder why we waited so long, because our genius finally showed up. How much easier would life be if we took on every task being genuine? That's the second objective. The third is authentic, anthosectic. Now, I've used these words before. For those of you who've heard them, let's hear them differently tonight. Anthosectic means that when I wake up in the morning, I choose to take control of my thoughts. I choose to make this the best day of my life. In my life, I choose to love Ramona. I choose to speak words that are kind and uplifting. I choose to coach. What is it in your life you would choose to do? How often are we in have to and should and must and a sense of obligation and even a fear of consequences if we don't do? Being authentic, anthosectic, is making the choice to act, hear this carefully, on our own moral authority. And you have to add this, you want to add this, doing the right thing for the right reason, because we want to, get to, and choose to. I have such faith in the human spirit that when the noise is shut off that would cause us to be rebellious and resistant and resentful, when the noise is cut off that has us question our ability and our belief systems and even our worth, when the noise is cut off from obsessive thought or vivid visualization being used destructively, when all that's shut off, my goodness, your goodness surfaces. And we will want to engage in life. We will want to connect with people. We'll want to embrace principles. We'll want to create value everywhere we go. We'll want to contribute to the world. That's our nature, our real nature, our anthosectic, our real self. The rest of it's just noise created over a lifetime, to which I have surrendered my free will on occasions. And when I do, there are things that I do which do threaten to imprison me, and likewise you. Imagine this. Real, genuine, authentic. Totally available to just be with people and love them. To fully embrace your ability and have it show up in everything you do without doubt or question or fear. If you don't know it, you learn it. Anthosectic, authentic, doing the right thing for the right reason. Because I want to. Not because I have to or somebody else is forcing me to. Because I have made the choice to do it. Can you imagine that? That's why this is our objective. Because when we get into impressing, we're trying to take a little bit and make it bigger than it is. Pretending we're actually faking something. With fear, false evidence appearing real, we have a thought process, releases a chemical. The chemical goes into our body. We have a real feeling. our intuition reads it, says, ah, problem, sends out more of those chemicals we feel. False evidence appearing real. It appears like it's real, but it's not. And it sabotages our lives. And shame? Oh, shame. It's one thing to feel guilty about what we've done. It's an entirely different thing to feel bad about ourselves because of what we've done. Shame. Well, how do we deal with all of this? What do we do? Okay, so I've got unrealistic expectations. I hate my life, and I'm beating myself up. Okay, so I had circumstances in my life where fragile underpinnings of trust were challenged. What do I do? Okay, so there are some things in my life that I'm kind of ashamed of. Yeah, what do I do? Well, I put up on the screen for my reference a couple of things I want to make sure I quote absolutely accurately tonight. Because the very first thing you're going to do is love yourself. Love yourself. In the material it says, love is more about reverence for the infinite and intrinsic gift of life. Starting with your own. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It is more about honoring and magnifying the gifts that have been given. This is so important. Than lamenting the ones that seem to be missing. Oh, that I could be skinny and in great shape. That one I could probably impact. It's more about focusing on contribution to the world than the endless accumulation of stuff. Dr. Hartman, I quoted him a few moments ago. I love this quote from him. Unless you like yourself, you cannot like anybody else. Unless you feel that you are of importance, nothing can be important to you. You must feel that you are important. You must take yourself seriously. If you take yourself as an accident that just as well it might not have happened, if you dislike ourselves, then we are lost. And then he makes it personal. You are lost to the universe. You cannot enrich the world. And you have been created to enrich the world. Well, how do we love ourselves? What do we do? I want to give you some thoughts tonight. Write down a piece of paper, the very first one. It's know thyself. Know thyself. This is when we take that sack and we empty it and we take a look at it. Some of those experiences aren't very pleasant. Some of them are embarrassing. Some of them are just flat out painful. Now, this isn't about destroying ourselves or blaming ourselves. This is just about knowing ourselves. What's true about us? What clay have we been given with which to build our life? What is our clay? Do we keep wanting somebody else's clay? Do we want their clay over there because they inherited a bunch of money from their dad? Do we want her clay because she's skinny and has long, beautiful blonde hair? Do we want his clay because he stuck to his education and got his law degree and has a successful law practice? Do we want her clay because she's got such grace? What's our clay? Because the truth is, we spend so much time focusing on everybody else's clay and wanting their clay, we sometimes don't even see our own. Tonight, begin the process of knowing thyself. Start with your strengths. I had a wonderful weekend working on our new Augmandino website, which should be up here in a couple of weeks. I hope you're excited about it as I am when you see it. Great resources. It's been a week of intrinsic validation. It's been a week of introspection. Boy, there's some things I wish I had that were different. It's so interesting to finally get in touch with what those things are. Deep inside, I wish I'd have gone to law school. Maybe I should have gone to Brown University where I had that scholarship instead of Ricks College, San Diego State. Maybe. And this weekend I said, you know, wow, I know this. It just never resonated with my soul as deeply as it did on Sunday. If I'd have done that, I would not have met Ramona. Oh, can't even imagine. What would we have missed if we'd have gotten the thing we wanted? And do we not want what we have even more? All the blessings we receive, the experiences we have. Know thyself. Now, if there's a difference between public persona and what happens in secret, well, we might have to go really deep to the bedrock. But just know that when we build from bedrock, whatever it is, there's no ceiling. When we build from bedrock, there is no ceiling. Know thyself. Not to be condemning or judgmental. Just to get clear on the clay. What have I got to build with? Because that's what I have. That's it. That's all I've got. This is it. Then number two. Oh, I'm going to read this. I marked this in bold this afternoon. Facing the truth about our lives is not about self-condemnation. It is about shedding light on the truth. What comes is a sense of peace. The truth will set us free. It is denial that keeps us in an emotional prison. It's a great secret. Now that we have this know thyself and we've got our clay defined, step number two, choose thyself. But I don't want that. Well, we can either live in resentment and resistance, or we can choose. The next level of peace comes in the choice. I choose me. One of my favorite movies is Family Man, Ramon. I watch it somewhat regularly. There's a scene at the airport where she said, I choose us. Or he says, I choose us. Because she had mentioned earlier, if you know the story for Family Man, if you don't, you want to go check out the movie. I choose us. Aside from anything else in the world, I choose us. Well, the same thing with ourselves. I choose me. This is the clay I've been given, and I choose this clay. I consciously. Dr. Hartman said this is such a critical step that when we choose the clay, we are then fully prepared to begin step number three, which is creating the most we can with the clay we've been given. Many build magnificent things with very little clay because they're not focused on the clay they don't have. They're focusing on how to take what they do have and make the most with it. Know thyself. Choose thyself. And then and only then can you begin the process of creating thyself. As we focus here and we begin the process of taking the clay and making the most we can with it, we become the best intrinsic validator we can. We master the art. We take the clay we've been given, and we learn how to use our mind constructively, so we get inspired ideas of how to take that clay, do magnificent things with it. This isn't in the material yet, but I'm going to share it tonight because we talk about it in quality number three, that when we fully maximize our ability, there's a power greater than us that actually gives us more. Never is that statement more profound than in the context of our conversation tonight. When we know and we choose and we begin to create, and we're creating all that we can with what we've been given, we are given more clay. Why would the giver of the clay give us more if we don't want what we have? May I repeat that? Why would the giver of the clay give us more clay if we don't want what we've already been given? Know thyself. Choose the clay you've been given. Begin to create with it. And watch what happens as you are given more clay. I watched this yesterday. It just creates such an overwhelming sense of gratitude that we want to show up in service. Things we may normally not have done, we just do because we just want to. We feel so joyful in the doing. It's not obligation, not fear of consequences if we don't. We give, which is the fourth step. We give out of an overflowing cup, not an empty one, not one with strings attached and all kinds of obligations, freely. And the statement earlier in the material that abundance is not something that we win. Abundance is not something that we seek to receive. Abundance is a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. At the core of that very statement is to know thyself. Get clear on the clay. Choose the clay. Create with the clay and watch the blessings flow out of your cup, and you just freely share them. You serve. Not to serve, because you can't help yourself. It's just what you do. It's who you become. Well, how do we do all of this? Well, we go back to intrinsic validation, but this time with an intention that we may have missed the first. We may have been more technique-driven in looking for the good and then verbalizing it, listening for doors, creating a safe place, blah, blah, blah. This time, we're going to go back knowing our clay, choosing our clay, creating the most we can with it, and showing up in the service of another person, no strings attached, truly listening to understand. Just listen. And when that happens, there is a partner that we have, a partner that is a power greater than ourselves, whose mission it is to bless the lives of all of those on this planet. And we are finally freely available to do that work. And as we partner with this great power, we start to have tender and wonderful experiences. Inspiration comes, and we serve. And when we serve, it validates the efficacy, the truth of the inspiration. We know that we are known. We know that we are known. there's more congruency between our secret life and our public life. We can be trusted. We trust because when we get inspiration and act on it, it turns out to be accurate. The single greatest healing force for self-esteem is to know who you are truly. Do you look at the clay and say, well, is this who I am? We choose the clay. We create with the clay. We can be given more clay. Who we are? Our partner. The single greatest healing force. To complement that, in quality number two, we focus on five constructive ways that absolutely align us with a power greater than ourselves so that we can receive inspired ideas, inspired impressions, inspired answers to problems. Because what we do know is when an inspired idea comes into our being, when you're wired to a functional MRI, parts of your brain light up you normally don't use. Something physiologically happens to us when we have that experience. We can feel it. It ignites our passion. And then it drives our focus and discipline and effort and action. And we are not acting alone. We are equally yoked with our partner. And creation occurs as fast as is humanly possible. We know that we're not alone. Well, those are great ways to heal self-esteem. We have just enough time, I think, tonight. I want to scroll down to something, if I may. Sometimes we have a difficult time going down here to sex. This is about stillness. Sunday, Ramona and I spent a day in stillness. Just stillness. It's a glorious day. Just resting from eating and craziness that we have going on in our lives. And just, we were just still. This is a great way to find you, the real you. I'm going to do an exercise tonight. If you're on the phone, it's going to be much easier because you just close your eyes. You're not watching me. This exercise is available online. You can listen to it set to music. I want to do it with you tonight, just us. Just us tonight. I want you to hear some of this. If you're watching the video, go ahead and close your eyes. Because I just want everyone to get really comfortable wherever they are. If you're sitting in a chair, just close your eyes and relax your head and your neck. Just relax. Some of you came tonight with so much noise raging in your heads. Just some of the firestorms that are happening in your lives, some of them not your making. They're overwhelming. Sometimes we feel like we're in a vice grip and then all it's happening is it just keeps getting tighter and tighter. And Dave keeps telling me to go into my mind and stay in creation. It's harder and harder not to go there. Ah! Let's let all that go tonight, just for a few moments. Just let it all go. Nothing's going to happen for the next few minutes. Just take a deep breath. And I'm not going to try to hypnotize you because, one, I don't know how. I just want you to be still for a moment. You're going to want to be still. Now step back from your thoughts. Just feel yourself step back. Just let go. Let go of the need to impress anyone. If you're there with friends, don't need to impress them. Everybody, just give everybody safe space to be here for a moment. No need to feel any shame, not in this moment. We let shame go. Let go of your weaknesses and your imperfections and all those things that weigh on you. need in this moment to pretend or impress. You don't need to be strong or smart or perfect. Any other fear or worry, anxiety, anything, just let it all go for a moment. Take a few more deep breaths. Just take a deep breath. Just let it all go. Because usually, this is when our thoughts just want to jump in, get really active and busy. From one, you may hear advice about how dumb or silly this activity may seem. Another may want to convince you that this is just a bunch of nonsense, and you can't live without these thought processes. Another, it may advise you to get frustrated or tired or disinterested or preoccupied. Just listen for them. Can you hear them? Another will argue that there's something inherently wrong with letting your mind be quiet so you can experience just being you. The most insecure of all the thought processes will advise you that you are giving up control of your life. When in fact, when we're still, we're finally taking control of our thoughts. Acknowledge your thoughts, thank them for their input, and just let them go. Remember, you, the real you, you're not your thoughts. You are the observer of your thoughts. Now take a few slow, deep breaths. Notice the air filling your lungs and then being expelled. Again, let go of any need to impress or pretend, any need to feel ashamed, any need to fear. If your thoughts are still trying to get your attention, know they're very uncomfortable with the idea that you can exist without them. Just relax. How often have you allowed your thoughts to control you? If you're having any thoughts, just notice what they are. Don't judge them. Just notice them. Step back from them. Let them go. Thank them for their participation. Take a few more slow, deep breaths and continue to relax. Notice that they try to jump back in. Notice, just let them go. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to try. Nothing to get right. Just relax and observe. It's a wonderful place. From here, the need to impress others will seem shallow. The need to pretend, immature. The need to feel ashamed, wasteful. The need to fear, childish. Notice your body, your fingers, your toes, your eyes, your nose. Don't make any judgments. Just continue to relax and observe. And once you find this place, you know that you are dependent. You are not dependent on any mortal or any material thing to be whole and complete. From here, you can simply be you. Real and genuine, authentic. No need to impress or pretend or feel ashamed or fear. Just relax in this place for the next few moments. If your thoughts show up, just acknowledge them, let them go. Just relax. Enjoy the quiet. Come back here often. Take moments to be still. It is when we are still that we can engage in intrinsic validation at a very high level. We can show up. We can be this still with another human being, fully engaged. We can be this still when we're in mental rehearsal or inspiration or exploration. This open to what might unfold. No noise distracting us. Just available. We can be this still when we're in action. We don't need to be frenetic, like a dog chasing its tail or a chicken with its head cut off. We Will you be this calm, this still? There's no need to impress or pretend or feel shame or fear. We could just be. Just be. Come back here often. Find this place. And the day will come when you will live here in this place. Connected. Committed. Intrinsically validating. Intentionally creating your life. When you're ready, open your eyes. You are nature's greatest miracle. Beyond price. Uniquely prepared for this moment in time. Spend some time this week getting clear on your clay, choosing it, and begin the process of intentionally creating all that you can with what you've been given, so you can be given more, and so that you can serve from a cup that's overflowing. To heal, practice intrinsic validation. Practice using your mind constructively. Do your power sessions. This time, in partnership with a power greater than yourself. Till you know that you're known. You trust. And can be trusted. There'll finally be purpose in all that's happened. You begin to feel that joy. And your soul begin to heal. And you'll have increasingly numbers of glimpses into who you really are. Until then, I just want you to know that I know who you are. Og into who you are. Nature's greatest miracle. Thanks, everyone. Stay in this quiet place for a few moments.